Good morning, Southwest Florida. It's 11:06 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF. Time for the Dr. Triana Show, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center and the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. Be sure and call them at 941-625-1990. Our phone lines are wide open right now. This is a live medical talk show. So if you have any questions along the way, feel free to call us. Once again, our phone number 941-206-1580 or toll free at 888-441-1580. And now, your hostess of the program, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Boy, we have for you a very, very special guest. Not only is he a special guest, but he also has a radio show. It's Michael Haymans. He is a prominent person in this community. If you hear all the wonderful things he does, he's second generation. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Second generation attorney in Punta Gorda. Thank you. Yeah, my dad came here in 1960 and went to work with the Farr Law Firm. It was Earl Farr and Drayton at the time, and dad came in. Earl was from Wauchula, and my dad was born in Wauchula, and my grandfather, my father's dad, knew Earl Farr from Wauchula and knew their family. And when dad graduated from, was about to graduate from law school at University of Florida, Clyde, my grandfather, came down to see Earl and said, Earl, I'd like for you to give my boy a chance. Aww. And so he talked to him and he hired him. And so he became the first lawyer that stayed with the Farr Law Firm from outside of the family. And he became a partner there within 3 years. So 1960 he came and I went to first grade at Sally Jones there. We first moved in on...
I went to Peace River.
Did you? We moved here in 1960, and we went through Hurricane Donna in the Wall Garden, which is on the corner of Booth and East Olympia. It no longer exists, the Wall Garden. It's now the Behavioral and Emotional Treatment Center. Oh. Sort of probably appropriate that that's the first place I came in, Punta Gorda.
Well, my family came in 1960 also, but and Michael has a radio show. Tell us about your radio show.
It's called Building a Zoo. It's about law and society. It's over the years probably become heavier on the society commentary rather than the legal aspects of things. I try to bring a legal perspective. That's one of the things that actually there's a Yale school of thought that a lot of the professors that I had who had gone to Yale had really taken up seriously, and that is a notion of obligation of lawyers because of their special education and the ability to their perception of how things work in society, have an obligation to then share that with the rest of the world. And so you find lawyers very involved in their community, trying to help people understand how things work and then how to participate in how to make them work for everyone better.
Well, we're going to talk about all the wonderful things that you do in the community. But one thing we were talking about is I have a prevention center. I try to help patients before the bad things happen. So as a lawyer, it sounds to me like you're practicing before it becomes a catastrophe. How do I?
It often I see people who come in with a contract that's already signed and want me to let them know what to do about it. And I look at it and it's just a disaster. And you say, oh, well, you know, it's a little late now for me to say you should have come here first before you signed the contract.
But if you avail yourself of a lawyer first, go ahead.
Yeah, you can save yourself some bigger money and headache and heartache in the long run. Hopefully, at least it's the practice of law. There's no guarantee that just because a lawyer touches it that everything's going to be hunky dory. But you can avoid some pitfalls and some mistakes that. Just that come about from not understanding the import of some aspects of coming to an agreement.
And, oh, we have a caller. Hello, caller. What's your
name? Yeah, hi. I wanted to ask Mike, and Mike, we know each other, and But I recently got...
What's your name?
My name's Rick.
Hi, Rick. Hang on for a second. We're having some difficulty with our earphones. Got that. Go ahead, Rick.
Okay. Mike, I just got a non-compete put on my desk at work, and I actually was going to call you today anyway and see if you could review this for me. Is that something you are familiar with?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm happy to help you with that. Typically, just to put it in perspective, the non-competition provisions have to be reasonable in geographic area and in length and duration of the non-competition. The notion is that that if you have some special information, trade secrets that you've gained, some special position that you have, that that it would that if you left business, that would be unfair competition for them. Often this happens when people buy a business, and so they bought the goodwill, and if the key people leave and then go start a competing business, they've lost the value of that goodwill. And so the notion is trying to have a balance of how do you protect that goodwill that you've purchased. That's often how that happens. I don't know your circumstance. You don't need to tell that to me on the radio, but I'm happy to talk to you about those kinds of things.
All right, I'll call your and leave a message at your office.
Yes, sir.
And,
please.
And then either I can swing in or email it to you, and then we can work out.
Sure. My secretary's name is Lori, and the number there is 575-0007. Used to be 007, but I got a promotion.
All right, thank you, Mike. Hey, and you're quite the dancer, man.
Oh yeah, I love dancing. That was my first approach to music. When I couldn't play a musical instrument, I always felt like I was participating with the band members by shaking it up. You know.
I think you and your wife and me and my girlfriend were the only ones out there dancing most of the time on Saturday. That was a good time down there in the park.
That was a great time, wasn't it? Brews, blues, and barbecue.
Oh, how was that?
Oh, it was delightful. It was a great setup there in the History Park in Punta Gorda. It made for an intimate setting. You could be in the middle of everything or be set off aside just a little bit and still be able to talk and visit with people. It was the beer was fantastic, the barbecue was delicious, and the music was outstanding. Larry T did
but
a good job.
I certainly wasn't expecting free beer. That was a pleasant surprise.
Well, at $30 a head getting in, I'm not sure how free it was, but the
hey, well, the concert was worth that. So
yeah, it was actually. But, truly was.
All right. Well, I'll be in touch either today or Monday. Thanks,
great.
Mike.
Thank you very much.
Thank
right,
you for
bye-bye.
Calling. You know, everyone's saying, well, you have a lawyer on the show. And how does that relate to medical? Well, the reason I have Michael on the show because he is an artist. And he has so much that he's going to talk to us about today. And so everyone, hang on, listen. He's on 206-1580. He's an artist. He's a musician. And we know that music feeds a soul, and you're going to sing for us now? Great! And helps your health.
I wrote this song after reading a book by Ernest Lyons called My Florida, and he sets up this dichotomy of the Florida that he loves and the Florida that it had become. This was written in the 1940s, the book. Dr. Livingston Shepherd asked me to read it, and he said, Mike, read this and then write a song about it. And so that's how this guy, it's sort of an assignment, you know. Distant clumps of cabbage palm on a flooded plain, 4 in the afternoon, thunders the summer rains. Pines and palmettos on a subtle hill in the winter, in the evening. Hear the whippoorwill in Florida, my Florida. Wild turkeys walking through slough grass, feeding on myrtle berries, grasshoppers, and pine mast. Dank and mossy live oak hammocks
swampy cypress, tangled strands, heads full of air plants. In Florida, my Florida, there are no fully occupied subdivisions, no fast food stores. There is no bank on every corner, and traffic isn't backed up to New York. In Florida, my Florida. Soft country drawl, earthy in season, round a fat, lightered fire. Listen to the evening. Frogs croak, croak, bull gators roar. Horned owls hoot, limpkins cry, and people, we spin tribal lore. In Florida, my Florida. Off in the distance, a panther screams. Cicadas riot, then quiet. Still the creek and the rustle of the breeze stirred trees. Pale in the morning, whistling off the roost. Woodstorks and ibis and egrets and waves and waves and groups. In Florida, my Florida. There are no Malaluca. God forbid Australian pines. Brazilian peppers, they don't drive the birds crazy. See walking catfish out of your mind. You see the catfish walk out of your mind. In Florida, my Florida. But then here comes that old urbanization. It won't last.
That is so beautiful. The visuals that that evokes.
Good. It worked. Thanks.
It is. I mean, you know, I keep thinking about where I live is so beautiful, too. We're mm-hmm. so blessed. We have such beautiful. Florida's gorgeous.
And people come from all over the place and recognize that and stay. And yet some come from all over the place and they don't even know where they are. I mean, I know people that can't find their way from Punta Gorda to Boca Grande in a boat. I mean, can you imagine living around here and not getting out on this beautiful harbor?
Oh, it's beautiful.
You know, and people talk about, oh, well, I miss the seasons. And yeah, you don't get the complete season view of the summer, fall, winter, and spring. But it does happen, and it does have its own subtleness about
yes,
it. And you can, if you pay attention, you can you get the beauty of the changes. Yeah.
Well, you evoke the feelings, and when the rain falls and the earth smells so good and mm-hmm. and all the plants and the vegetation, and you're going, and then it turns green, 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 green. So we're so blessed. Florida is so beautiful.
I've always thought of Michael as our own, he's definitely a Florida son, but I've always thought of him as our own Pete Seeger or James Taylor. And I've always thought of him in that way, you know, the beautiful songs that he writes about things from his heart, and that's right here.
And because you love the land so much, that's one of your concentrations in
that
your
is.
Practice, right?
I do land use and environmental law. The environmental law is primarily, not always, but primarily representing private property owner who wants to negotiate through the regulations in order to use their land. Because we've now, what's left that's natural is precious to us because the things that we have here that used up the other precious land now leaves that as a scarcity. And so in that scarcity, we look to regulate how people use it for their personal use, because it has consequences beyond, you know, the temporal, the right now.
Right.
It's some of the changes that we make last forever. And so we have reasonable regulations, but sometimes that regulation is not so reasonable, and sometimes government comes at the notion of private property from with the wrong presumptions. There's some case law in Florida that says that zoning regulations are supposed to be strictly construed and in favor, if there's an ambiguity, in favor of the property owner. And most governmental people don't know that and don't apply that way. And so one needs an advocate often in order to be able to use their land within the right balance, because there's a continuing tension. Some people don't want you to use your land at all. They want you to leave it in its natural state. And then there's some private property owners who don't care enough about the natural state. One of the things that I get to do as a lawyer in land use matters is I get to help. I'm the first step in education sometimes about what is reasonable and what society's reasonable expectations of that use are. And then when they're overreaching, I get to push back on the government. But I'm helping educate the property owner at the same time.
Well, that's really great. But you said you also do general practice too, right?
I do a general practice. I don't do divorce, nor do I do criminal. I have very good resources to help get people to those kinds of practitioners. And so I'm a little bit of a gatekeeper that way. If you've got that kind of problem, you don't know who to go to, you're welcome to give me a call and I can help get you to someone who can help you.
Where is your office?
My office is located in downtown Punta Gorda on the corner of Olympia and that's West Olympia and Sullivan. And so it's it's next door to Carmelo's, that good Italian restaurant that's good in town there, mm-hmm. where Purcellers used to be. Jerry and Pat still own the property. I think it's for sale, but they've got a new tenant in there, and that's Carmelo's, the Italian ristorante. And wow, we had supper there last night, and we love eating there. It's delicious. But my office is right next to it, and so it's also there on the corner next to where the Purple House is, and where
it's harbor. It's a historic home,
it's
right?
It's a historic home, and where the Orange House Bar is on Sullivan.
There.
Right. County, it's just catty corner to Judita's there, mm-hmm. which is in another old home there on the corner. And so Sullivan Street has some nice historic structures on it. The building I'm in was built in 1935. It was the Abers, and they were the funeral directors. They had the funeral home in Punta Gorda before, in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, they were the only funeral home serving the white community. There was a funeral home that served the black community at the time. But my office had been where the Abers lived. There was a time that that they may not have lived there, and that there actually had bodies in there for a while. I haven't felt any ghosts or anything. And then it was Carly's consignment shop is where. So when I got it, the owner Carol still owns it. I rent there, and I've been there for 6 years now, a little over five and a half anyway. And I've got another 4.5 years on the lease, and then if I'm good and it doesn't need to go to do something else, so maybe we'll stay there. We'll see. But that's down the road. But yeah, that's where I'm located. I had been 27.
Good location.
It is a good location. I had been 27 years with the Farr Law Firm. My dad practiced with the Farr Law Firm. I came back to town in 1983, in January of 83, and went to work and started practicing with the Farr Law Firm. That same year, Daryl Carr and Charlie Boyle and I were the three that came to the Farr Law Firm, and those two are still there. And so we're all three of us still practicing here. They're still with the Farr Law Firm. But I decided to hang my own shingle. It was time to, I'm a little bit more free form. And so the bigger corporate kind of structure was starting to chafe a little bit. And so I do better out here on my own. It's just me and my secretary. She came with me. Lori has been...
She's very nice, by the way.
She's great. She's great. It allowed me to hit the ground running when we left from the Farr Law Firm. We had been together 10 years at that point in the Farr Law Firm as she was my secretary. And so now we're 15, we're more than 15 years.
That's wonderful. Yes, she's very sweet. I called your office and she said she heard me on the show and mm-hmm. she's just very, very nice about that. Mm-hmm. And I know you're involved in, which I think is really great. We're going to talk about all your community involvements, but we're going to play a little commercial, a little break right now, Zane. Got it?
Another morning where you just drag yourself out of bed after hitting the snooze button five times. Now you're driving to work. It's like a zombie. That lack of energy and poor sleep every night is just one sign that your hormones may be out of whack. Time to get them back in balance with Bio-T. Both men and women need testosterone and suffer without it. And all you need is a quick little test. My testosterone was too low, my estrogen too high, and it meant that I was just foggy and irritable every day until I learned about Bio-T Medical. Bio-T is all natural. It's not synthetic. It's not those shots or messy creams that you hear a lot about. With Bio-T, all you need, 2-3 treatments a year, as opposed to painful shots that you're getting every week. Come out of the fog, feel youthful again, get that libido back up, feel happy, even maintain your weight loss.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Let me balance your hormones with Bio-T. Call me at 941-625-1990. For your appointment.
It's 1128 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF, and you're listening to the Dr. Triana Show, brought to you by the Triana Center for Hormone Balance and the Triana Prevention Center. And now, back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana and her special guest, Michael P. Haymans.
Yes, welcome everyone. And if you have a call to my wonderful guest, Michael P. Haymans, 206-1580. We're very, very blessed today to have, not only is he a great attorney, but he is an artist. He writes poetry and he gives back so much to the community. I asked him, when do you sleep? But he wants to do, you're going to do a poem now mm-hmm. or a song?
Well, it's one that'll lead into the other. This part of this land use kind of thing and environmental law, but it also goes with bigger issues. I don't want to offend anybody. If there's anyone out there that's part of the Save the Love Bug Society, then just hold on to your hats for this one.
Save the Love Bug? Those little cute creatures? I'm kidding.
Well, we get them twice a year, you know, the fall and the spring. That wasn't too bad a hatch this year, but if you live out in the country, then you drive through them a lot more than people who just stay right in town for the most part. But if you notice they're hell bent. We roar down the road looking through bug slaughtered windshields.
Oh,
praise the glass! It takes a lot of guts to show their insides, but ain't love a blast? Hung up and flying, woo, living, yeah, and dying. Love true to the very last splat. But doesn't each splatter matter more than driving fast? No, not even close. Praise the glass.
That is great.
I drive a pickup truck. It's full-sized and American-made. It's a tough pickup truck. It's just not too fancy. Doesn't have four-wheel drive. No lights on the top or chrome on the side. Paint job, it don't shine. Driving through the brush is scratchy. Got no factory air and the add-on. Well, it rarely works. It's got
a radio, but the speakers in the door stay cracked and broke. It's got tires that hum and moan, roll down the road and through the piney woods. Slant six that makes them go. It's not hard to work on. He's got a big bench seat. Door to door, automatic. There's no stick on the floor. So though I sing to myself and sweat when it's hot, slide over, babe, I think you like it a lot. I said, I drive a pickup truck. It's full-sized and American-made. It's a tough pickup truck. It's just not too fancy. No, it's just not. No, it's just not too fancy.
That is great.
Yeah, I awesome, Michael.
I have an old pickup truck, too.
Yeah, everybody needs an old pickup truck.
I love my pickup truck, a diesel. Diesel 1990 Chevy.
So I drive, and I've been in the woods and hunting and fishing all my life. Thank you to my father who introduced me to that. That was a great way for us to be together and share time. My son is the same way. I remember taking him out hunting, and he snipe hunting and duck hunting when he was just a little thing. And he was all, I used him as a retriever, you know, sort of like the dog, go get him, fetch kind of deal. But and he grew up into a good shot and a reasonable hunter, and you know, and but in doing that, always we always only shot things that we would eat, and mm-hmm. we were very respectful with to use all of the parts that we could. I mean, we keep the organs and all of that kind of thing. We try not to let anything go to waste out of it. And then we eat delicious wild game, and the only way that you can have those kinds of things is to go harvest it yourself. And so we've always had a personal relationship with our groceries in my home, and that's true for a lot of hunting and fishing families. What it allowed me was to have a perspective on where I am, a attentiveness to nature and right. how it works and the flow of things. I mean, there's not many people. How often do you go out and sit as quiet as you can in one place in the woods and just listen and look? I mean, if you're not a hunter, you almost never do that.
And, well, we should be doing it even if we're not hunters.
That's right. There's a beautiful world out there that is so complex and so interrelated, how it all works together. And so with that perspective, I'm now on the board of directors for the Charlotte Harbor Environmental Center.
Oh, wow.
And participate in their programs. And, mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, had a great time, got to be the naturalist docent on a trip last weekend on the Kingfisher for an hour tour. The Charlotte Harbor Environmental Center check had provided the naturalist speakers for the various tours during Marina Day that was being celebrated last Saturday. And so I got to go and be on that and talk about nature around here. And I love doing that. And I love being part of check and supporting the educational purpose that they serve, continuing environmental education for not just the kids, but all of us.
I heard they have a great summer camp for kids.
They do have a great camp. I'm also on the I'm involved in the historic preservation aspects okay. of our community. I'm on the Charlotte County Historical Advisory Committee, which is an appointed position from the Board of County Commissioners, and have participated in that for many years. Had been on the board of directors for the youth museum when it was the youth museum before that got absorbed into the county's library system, and so paid attention to historic programming and education and preservation for a long time. That's one of the reasons I like this old house that I'm in for an office.
What about the Blanchard House? You work with that too, right?
The Blanchard House, Scott Shively and Jill, very active over there. And I sit on that historic advisory board with Scott. Also, Martha Bereda, who's Dr. Bereda's, it's her baby over there, basically, the Blanchard House, and how hard they work to make that a good museum. And I participate with them. I first met Martha. Actually, I knew her mother because I was on the Democratic Executive Committee. As I was the chairman of the Democratic Executive Committee when her mother was on the Executive Committee back in the 1980s. I'm no longer a Democrat, but I'm not a Republican. But that's how I got to know Martha's mom. And then when she came back to town, I got to meet her and was on the Peace River Center Writers Board of Directors
and
with her.
I was
on the initial board of directors, and Carol Mahler, who put Peace River Center for Writers together, that was her brainstorm and birth. She birthed that with the help of some other people in the community, including myself. But I got to know Martha there, and over the years, as she has been instrumental in bringing historic education, particularly the untold stories of some of the blacks and Seminoles and others who are sometimes left out of the general narrative about our history. I became involved with her, and now I've played a part in a couple of productions that we've done, sort of a living history program.
Mm-hmm.
So I performed as an abolitionist, and then on this last Emancipation Day, I performed with the Blanchard House Living History Players as a slave owner who had just had all of his property taken by the announcement of the emancipation of the slaves in Florida. And that was a fun day and a good thing. And I learn a lot. I do a lot of studying in order to play those parts.
Yeah, I love history.
And recently we redid the Ken Larkin's A Century in Motion, and was I played a cracker cowboy in that, and got to sing a couple of songs, and that was a fun thing. So I like history, and I think it's important to know on whose shoulders and backs we're standing on as we enjoy the things that we have here now. That didn't all just happen at once. It happened mm-hmm. through hard work across many years and generations of people. And to recognize and keep up with that and to appreciate that, I think, is an important part of appreciating society in general and being respectful to the contributions of everybody, past and present.
I think that's really great. But you said you also started the... You write it?
Dawn McGibbon and I were mm-hmm. Talking in the early days. This was when she and Sandy had first gotten married, and they were living in the old bank building right there in on Marion. It's now a salon, a spa, I think. But Sandy and Dawn lived there, and I'd come over and visit and have libation and chat, and we'd talk about poetry and that there was that we needed to have some kind of a gathering, you know, sort of I'm searching for the right word, but a literary salon, basically. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it, and we continued to talk about it, and finally John Palkovic, who was part of our friend group there, and John finally said one afternoon, he said, y'all either do something or shut up about it. And so we said, you're right. And so we took some pictures, made some postcards, invited 150 people to a poetry gathering. And it was structured so it had a first half and then a break and then a second half. And then the first one, Dawn and I, the McGibbons and the Haymans, paid for the drinks and food. And so it was, we threw a party. People that were there, Steve Blackwell was there at the very first one, John Palkovic. There was about 70, 80 people showed up for this party for a poetry reading. And the next week or next month, we sent out another invitation. And this time if you want it, you bring it. And so it became a potluck and a BYOB thing so that it wasn't a burden. And it started then going to someone else's house each month. And so this quasi-public-private gathering took off, and for a couple of years it blossomed into about, as I say, we had 150 that invitations went out, had about 70, 80 people show up at the first one. The next one was about 30 people. It dropped down to about 20, and then it sort of built back up, and there was a time when it was going around to people's houses, and it outgrew people's houses, really. Right. It had become so big. But it still goes on. There's one coming up the end of June. It's at a private home. John Pillow, who's a professor at Florida Southwestern College, he's hosting it this time. We'll be hosting one in October. Dawn, my wife, and I at our home in October. But YRI is you wrote it, you read it. And the whole thing goes, you wrote it, you read it, you want it, you bring it. And we used to have them call for assignments, so as we give them prompts what to write to. And it was a really good way to encourage people to write and complete new poems. So every month you wanted to have, oh, I've got a new one.
Right.
You know? And so there was a very a big creative surge that happened in Punta Gorda in the late 1980s. And Don McGibbon was a big part of that. Steve Blackwell was a huge part of that. Johnny Cole was a big part of that. And then Johnny and I were writing songs at that same time. And I didn't want to wait on him anymore to write the music because I wasn't playing guitar at the time. And I got him I had an old guitar that I had, but I didn't have it strung and that kind of thing. He put strings on it, showed me a couple of chords, and off we went.
Taught yourself the guitar?
Basically. I mean, I've books and the helping hands of a few folks. And we were practicing. We were called ourselves Moonshine Holler. And we were practicing at home, at my home. I was living in downtown Punta Gorda at the Timbers at the time, Debbie and my son Dylan and I. John was over, and Debbie said, she came downstairs and said, y'all are going to have to find someplace else to practice. If I hear these songs one more time, I'm going to start hating them. And so you've got to go someplace else. And so we went down on Wednesdays, and we started meeting on Wednesday nights at the gazebo in Gilchrist Park in Punta Gorda. And we did that for about a year, and there was a group that came around, and we had a good 10 people or so, 15 people that were regulars doing that. Steve Blackwell would show up sometimes, but Steve was keeping the high school library open on Wednesday nights as a study hall for high school kids. Mm-hmm. And so he couldn't come on Wednesday nights very often unless school was out. And then Johnny Cole died in a plane crash with his dad, Bud, and stepmom, Maureen, and John's fiance, Loretta, the Abacos. Yeah, they was a bad crash of a small airplane in the Abacos. And Steve came up to me afterwards, in the months after that, and said, you know, that was such a good thing that was going at the park, and we don't need to let that stop. If we can move it to Thursday nights, I can come regularly. And so we moved it to Thursday nights, and about seven of us, Dan and Robin Leach, Dave Riley, Gary Helinski, Steve, myself, that was sort of the core group that moved it to Thursday nights. And it grew from that into what it's become now. And during the season, there'll be over 100 musicians there, and there'll be 1,000 people in the park. And it's just a pickup jam. It's actually now grown. So it's grown so large that the people who were playing amplified music dominating the park, and we've rolled that over until there's a Tuesday night open mic in Gilchrist Park now for amplified music, and it's got a little more structure to it. And then Thursday nights is in the gazebo and in the And I was there last night, and there was probably 30 musicians in the park, about another probably 50, 70 people, you know, wandering through. And we had some rain that came and drove us out. And anytime it looks like rain, you know, some people won't show up. But it just grew into this big, beautiful, blossomed into this big, beautiful thing. That's probably the biggest mark that I'd say that made that I think will be left forever on the community is the Punta Gorda Guitar Army. It's a neo-beatnik revolutionary ensemble, as Steve Blackwell liked to call it.
Really?
And Steve now has passed on. Melanoma got him. And so the two guys that I started the Guitar Army with have passed on. The river keeps flowing, but it's still a lot of good energy down there, and it's probably will be forever. The best part of it is there's absolutely no administration. It goes on whether I show up.
It's all on its own.
All on its own.
Free-flowing.
Yep. And so that's a good one. The Freedom Swim is another one that may stay. That one takes a little more administration and a little bit. I'm having to wrestle with the powers that be about permitting and traffic and all kinds of other things with that.
I want you to talk about the Freedom Swim, but we want to hear our other commercial and, the boy commercial.
Okay, guys, listen up. You feel like a 70-year-old man in a 45-year-old body, can't work out like you used to. Maybe your testosterone is low. You know, testosterone is the dipstick of men's health. Levels decline after 30, accelerated by a variety of environmental chemicals that can convert the reduced testosterone you are producing to estrogen. That's the female hormone, and not good. You can change all that at the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. There, your hormones are measured, a thorough physical done, and a program to restore your hormone balance is laid out for you. Bioidentical hormone pellets are inserted beneath the skin every 4 to 5 months by a certified Bio-T physician. 15 minutes and you're on your way to feeling better, having more energy, improved muscle tone, and renewed interest in your sex partner. Yay! Still not convinced? Go to the Bio-T website. That is BioteMedical.com. Then call 625-1990 for an appointment that will change your life.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Let me balance your hormones with Bio-T. Call me at 941-625-1990 for your appointment.
11:48 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF, and you're listening to the Dr. Triana Show. Our phone line's wide open at 206-1580, toll-free 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana and Michael P. Haymans.
Yes, we have Michael P. Haymans, who is a prominent attorney in the community. Remind us, Michael, where is your office and your phone number?
I'm 215 West Olympia Avenue, Punta Gorda. The phone number is 941-575-0007.
I love that, 0007. So, and Michael is also such involved with the community. He's an artist, and we know that music is great for your soul and great for your health. And he wants to play another original. I mean, you write this all this, right?
This song sort of wrote itself. And it's called Wilding. Slips away, hey, hope, and pray, but live the life you have today. Hope, and pray, but live the life you have today. I take now. Give me tomorrow, electric air, drenching downpour, screaming, howling excitement, dancing naked like a wanton whore. Hope, and pray, but live the life you have today. Hope, and pray, but live the life you have today.
sing out loud, alleluia, fall down writhing on the floor, holding on today. The Spirit moves us in mysterious ways, hope and hope and pray and pray, but live the life you have today. Hope and hope and pray and pray, but live the life you have today. When I fall, measure your mercy. I can't afford the strings that you tie. Help me only if you want to. Screams are costly, hell, without them why not die? Hope and hope and pray, but live the life you have today. Hope and hope and pray, but live the life.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You're right. Live the moment and appreciate what you have.
Yeah.
And where we live.
You know, I'm 60 years old now, and I don't feel like it. I've got good genes. I take fairly good care of myself. I've been an athlete a good part of my life. I was a wrestler in high school and in college.
Wow.
I was a wrestling coach. I was a diving coach, springboard diving. I've run all of my life. I ran cross country in high school, and I run for my mental health. It's a great meditation, and so I've taken pretty good care of myself over the years. Although I have to say that I drink. I've got a very good liver, and so I process alcohol easily, and it doesn't have some of the negative effects on me. Maybe it will, maybe it won't.
Moderation is the key to everything.
Except for moderation, right?
No, moderation is the key for everything. And we know that genetics are very important, but environment is the key also. What you do with your body.
But as I age, what's changing in me that I need to worry about? That I want to stay vigorous and full of vitality. And I find myself napping a little bit more now. Mm-hmm. You know, I like a siesta. But what other things, as I'm sure I'm going to get out of balance at some point. What should I do?
Well, one of the things that are very important for prevention is one of the things we do at the Triana Balancing Center for Hormones is we check men and women's hormones because we're aging. We are now living more years. So we're trying to keep your body in balance to when you were younger. So that's the part of that we do. But that's in conjunction with lifestyle, you exercise, your diet, all that works together.
Attitude matters.
Attitude, meditation. One of the things that that is really killing us is stress. So if you can go and run or play the guitar or sit down and just look at the raindrops falling like I do. I sit on the farm. I look at the rain, look at the plants. You know, we've had people here talk about pets. Your pets will also lower your stress, lower your blood pressure. So in conjunction with lifestyle, checking patients' hormones, then we can help people to age healthier. We're not going to necessarily, as I tell my patients, this, you know, we use bioidentical hormone replacement. It's really not replacing like you're a teenager. It's giving you what you were like when you're in 30 and 40 years old. So that in conjunction with the other parts of your body that we look at, you know, your blood pressure and your blood work and everything else, we are trying to keep you healthier because that's a great attitude. I remember when people used to think anybody over the age of 50 was old.
Yeah, I thought that myself.
We're not.
Until here I am, and I'm pretty I'm very active.
You're active, yes, and you want to stay that way. You know, we want to enjoy as much as we can. We want to have as many good years as possible. And one of the things, before we move on, I want to tell everybody, Michael has a show. Tell us again the name of your show.
It's called Building a Zoo. It's on Thursdays at the same time slot, 11:05 till noon. Every Thursday, and it not only is on the local radio, but because we have iHeart, it goes all over. Now, it's not quite all over the world, but it goes all over this country for sure and to some other countries. I have people that listen from Belize, people that listen in from Montana. My brother Branch listens from Anchorage, Alaska.
Wow.
And so it's a really interesting, and I bet you have listeners from greater than just our local listening audience also.
Well, I feel so lucky to be able to even do the show because my mission, again, is to bring information to all who listen, to my patients, about your health, and also what helps you to stay healthier, like you're doing. Like you started the Freedom Swim. Before we leave, I want you to talk about
Freedom
that.
Swim is going to be at 10 o'clock this year, 10 a.m., as always, it starts from the north end of the southbound U.S. 41 bridge in the water there. It goes to Fisherman's Village is where most people get out, although some people don't start at the start and don't end at the finish. They get out on boats. They go to Gilchrist Park. It's a free form. It's actually really and truly an event that is not an organized event. There's nobody that we're raising money for. There's nobody that's really in charge. The only thing that I do is suggest the time based upon the tides. And so this was Frank Desgan and Sandy McGibbon and I with 10 other friends and started it 25 years ago, 1991.
Oh my.
And it was so we started with 13 of us in one boat that was the Kama with Kopi and Becky Copenhaver being our flagship, and we crossed and that caught the attention of Ann Henderson and some of the other press media folks, and it got a big splash in the paper. And as a matter of fact, from the Dunn Rankins, the owners of the paper and publishers, have swam in it, I think, 23 out of the 25 years.
That is wonderful.
Yeah. It's grown to, there'll be 250 swimmers, 100 boats in the water. There is a marine caution that happens from the Coast Guard that makes it a idle speed only in the channel during the swim.
Good.
We're working informally with the county and the sheriff's department about what happens up on 41, some of the issues that arise with traffic, but it's basically there's a captain and some volunteer vessels.
All right, thank you, Michael P. Haymans, for being a wonderful guest.
Thanks for having me here.
Thank you for giving so much to the community.
WCCF Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte, coming to you from the Grand.